You are now listening to
Hello, everybody. Sorry for the little delay there. I'm Samuel Pierman. You're listening to Off the Rails. I am your host, 100%, 1,000%. Gabe.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
We're missing someone, aren't we?
We are.
Brody is off taking his PSATs like a boring man. Hopefully he does well. I'm hoping he does well.
That's great.
Everybody take their PSATs right now, tomorrow, whenever, does well. But we got someone else in the studio. Do you know who that is?
I'd let him introduce himself.
Introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Garrett Burkle.
Woo! Garrett, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Have you ever been on Off the Rails? Like last year?
I was, but y'all interviewed me. With Max, or is that a different show?
That was the other show I had.
What was it called? On the Fly. Mm-hmm. I was on the Fly.
You were on
so
that.
So I was not on Off the Rails. So Ryan had this show last year.
Yeah, he was the lead host. We miss him so dearly, the poor soul.
Shout out Ryan.
Rest his soul. Off in Ball State doing whatever in the world you do over there. Isn't Kyle also at Ball State?
Yes, sir. And Keenan.
Kyle, Keenan. That means Max, Kyle, Keenan, and Ryan all got into Ball State.
Mm-hmm. Ryan has got a girlfriend down there, too.
Oh, so, my gosh, he's doing pretty well. They're all doing well.
I see him on Instagram from time to time.
Yeah. I hope they're all doing well in college right now. But we're here. We're right now in this room. So we got to talk about things, because next week, I was debating about this, either to do it this week or next week, because next week's the day after Halloween.
Yeah.
Which, it'd be November. That's time for Thanksgiving. November's the Thanksgiving, Black Friday month. This is the spooky Halloween.
Yes, sir.
Scary month. Yes, so, yeah. We have to get a little spooky. So, I wanted to talk to you guys about your Halloween experiences, your spooky experiences, and just all about what kind of things terrify you. Gabe, you want to go first?
You were making eye contact with me that entire time, and I was like, are you about to ask me?
Yeah, I'm asking you right now, believe it or not.
So what do I start off with? What do you want?
Something scary.
Scary.
Sir, give us the scary.
So, come on. You got any spooky experiences around the Halloween time?
Not necessarily around the Halloween time, no.
No?
All right, let me go.
All right, then Garrett, special guest, you got anything?
So, do y'all remember when, like, those clown things that happened?
Oh, yeah, the killer clown things that were going on?
Yeah, so Halloween night, this is probably 2016, 17, around that time, maybe even 2018. It was a few years back. Anyway, I used to live in Indy, near 96th Street out there by the mall and whatnot. So I used to be in there, and again, we lived in a pretty nice area and whatnot. But there was one time where, so we lived on a lake, right? And it's like 7-8 o'clock at night. And I go by, and I'm walking, and there's this, like, section of our old neighborhood that had, it just had a sidewalk. And then on the side, there's no houses, because no houses had been built there yet. So it was just, like, you know, grassy area, and you could look straight down at the lake because there's no houses blocking your view. And I had looked down there, and I swear, and again, I don't know if this was my, you know, 10-year-old brain telling me something and me seeing something completely different, but I swear to you, I saw a clown down there. And it was like, and it was dressed in a yellow kind of clown suit, I'd say. And it had red hair, and I don't know if it was a mask or if it was actually painted on, but I swear I saw a clown. And I booked it. Like, as soon as I saw it, I think I was on my bike, and I turned it around, and I went back home as quick as I could. I was like, no. And again, I don't know, again, if this was me seeing stuff or if that was actually it. Again, to me, it feels very real, but I have questioned its
validity.
Yeah, in the past, just because, again, I was so young at the time.
Yeah, you could have one of two things. You could have been seeing things, because, you know, when you're a little younger, or even just in general, when you're in the dark, yeah. you tend to imagine things that aren't actually there.
You're filling in the blanks a lot.
And it was like at that time of night where it was still bright enough out to where people were still kind of out, but at the same time it was starting to get dark pretty quick.
Right.
So by the time I had made it there, like the sun was already almost down and it was, you know, start of nighttime. And yeah, that's when I had saw it. So again, you're right. I might have been seeing something, or again, I just have a memory of, I just have a certain memory of something that, you know, didn't happen.
Yeah, or you actually saw someone as a clown, and you just survived, my friend. One of the two.
What if he was just being sad and, like, looking at the lake?
Sad clown hours?
Yeah.
Just...
What if he had a long day,
and he like, kids laughed at him, and he was feeling really bad about himself, and he had to go for a walk?
Yeah.
What if he was just, like, on, like, a smoke break, and he was
exactly.
outside, and...
He was just spending...
After, like, a kid's birthday party, and he was so just, like, done with it. He's mm-hmm. like, yeah, I'm gonna smoke break.
He was just trying to relax, take in the lake view, beautiful sun setting going down, and the first thing he sees is some kid running away from him, terrified, because he's just, you know, trying to relax and take a nice day break.
That would ruin my evening if I was a clown.
If you were a clown?
Yeah.
You mean you're not getting paid for being a clown?
No.
You're not getting paid for that?
I didn't go to clown school. I don't have the certificate.
It's actually...
I am a clown.
It's pretty difficult to get into clown college, man. Yeah. You gotta, like...
And it's like $40,000. It's expensive.
So many loopholes you got to jump through, man. It's crazy. But
so
yeah.
I was just going to finish the story. Sorry, Pyramid, if I interrupted or anything. But the final story was that I had went home that night. Right. And again, I'm terrified. And I'm like, Mom, let's go. You know, I explained the situation. I was like, hey, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? And she's like, did you want me to drive over there and see if there's anything down there? And I'm like, yeah, let's go right now. So we get in the car and we drive over there and there's nothing there. And my mom is just, she's just in such a state of mind that she's like, wow, like you're dumb, Gary. Like she didn't say that, but like you could tell like that was the, you know, the mood that she was giving me. Yeah. So, again, I still say it happens. And whenever I bring it up and my mom's in like the same room, she's like telling that fake story again. And I'm like, yup. So again, I don't know. I swear it happened, but,
dang man, 10-year-old you was brave. You were like, there's a clown over there. We got to make sure it's safe.
My mom was just like, okay, yeah, sure, there's a clown. And I'm like, wow. But, again, I saw what I saw.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to tell me otherwise. Just saying.
It's there.
That's just what you're saying, man.
Yes, sir.
But, yeah.
Pyramid, what's your story?
My story? Scariest thing? Okay, I'm trying to really think. This, I don't know if this kind of happened earlier this year. So as I was driving to school, I'm just driving, you know, usual route down the road, you know, nothing going on, nothing too terrifying. Mm. And as I'm coming up past this mailbox, I see something to the side. It looks like a bush. I'm thinking, okay, that's pretty normal. But out of the corner of my eye, I couldn't tell if this was because it was dark
mm-hmm.
and I was, you know, still a little tired. I'm functioning. I'm able to drive. But,
right.
you know, I'm in that state of mind where I'm like, whew.
Autopilot.
No, I get you. Like, in the morning when I'm driving to school sometimes, it's
yeah.
just like, I should be in bed right now.
I swear, I saw the bush get up and look at me.
Oh, no.
Nah, it looked like a...
That sounds a little something...
I don't know if I was just, like, out of my mind bonkers, but I swear, I saw something get up out of that bush that it wasn't tall enough to be a deer, but was surely longer than one. So it just kind of like got me for a second. It just really scared the crap out of me.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
So how big was this bush?
Okay, how big was the bush? Okay. It looked like your average sized bush.
So we're talking like, you know, a little one that would be on the ground right here, you know, I'd say, what, 4 feet tall around there?
I'd say, yeah, it'd probably come up to my height about halfway.
Okay.
Now imagine that getting up on thin legs and then just looking at you.
What if it was just a short tree?
If it was a...
Are you sure something didn't, like, pop out of the bush? Like, it could have been, like, a raccoon or something?
I'm pretty sure I was just, you know, losing my mind on the way to school, but, man, it got me. Like, it got me good, man. It was terrifying. Another thing, since we live out in the country, sometimes, late at night, it's hard to tell what sounds like what.
Yeah.
So whenever you hear coyotes yapping in the middle of the night, it is... It's kind of scary, man. Like, you're like, okay, that sounds like a coyote, but you can't tell because it kind of sounds like a weird laugh. Like
yeah.
Like a half-scary laugh that just is not normal sounding. especially with a bunch of them at the same time.
No. Back in Arizona, we had a... So I was living right on the border of the reservation and Chandler, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, that's where the city starts. It's a suburb. And the coyotes would go play on the reservation because it was undeveloped, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no buildings, no nothing, not a lot of traffic. It's just a bunch of, like, fields and dirt and probably rodents and stuff to snack on. But every night, I would hear them. And they'd, like, I'd go to the bathroom, and we have the vents coming in.
Yeah.
So you'd hear them coming through the ceiling and just barking and yapping all night up to, like, 3 a.m.-ish. And you're trying to go to bed, and you got to, like, go pee or something. And it really sets you off in the middle of the night, and you're like, that's a lot of dogs outside my house.
Yeah, that's a lot of noise, man.
It is. It's intimidating, but it's, like, almost soothing after a while.
Yeah, because you just kind of accept it, and you're like, huh. Nature's doing its thing.
Hmm.
But sometimes you just hear, like, one weird random noise in the middle of the night, and you go, okay, that's not right.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way with thing. I don't know. Something about at night and hearing noise, either it's one of two things, hearing nothing at night or hearing a lot of sounds at night, just kind of are terrifying. Like, if you're walking around at night, you expect to hear something like crickets, maybe an owl or two, maybe a coyote. But if there's just nothing, that is just horrifying to me.
Is it?
It, yeah.
Why is that?
Because there's supposed to be sound going on all the time.
Right.
Like, right now, sitting here, we're talking to each other. Lights are on. There's some buzzing of electronics. That's normal. We're talking. You go outside, you go into the woods, you hear trees rustling, you hear some birds chirping. Sometimes you might see a deer run around or two.
Yeah, or crickets or something.
But you know, you have a point to that, because I don't mean to interrupt you or anything, but I get very nostalgic about some things. And, like, I had went back to Indy, you know, like, the kind of the part of the area I grew up, you know, when I was a kid and whatnot.
Right.
So I had went back to, you know, one specific place that we went to. It was a strip mall in Indy. It had, have you guys ever been to Monkey Joe's?
I think.
It's like a kiddie trampoline kind of place, and there's like Outback Steakhouse, and it's just like there's just a whole bunch of places that, you know, I went through throughout my childhood that I remember very vividly. And I had went back a couple weeks ago late at night to I can't remember what I was doing down there, but I was doing something down there, and I had driven through there I had sat in the parking lot late at night to try to figure out, you know, my directions home. And I just sat there, and it was like empty, and you're right, there was no sound to it, and it was just really eerie just to see, like, everything that, you know, I once saw as a kid just sit there just in total darkness. It was very odd, but I don't mean to interrupt. I'm just, you know.
No, it's the sense of there should be something happening, but nothing is.
Right.
It's kind of like the kind of fear you get whenever you see videos about, like, exploring abandoned buildings. You're like, this place used to be a mall. There should be stuff in here. There should be people in here, but there's nothing. There's no noise. Nope. Good over there, Garrett?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. It's so unsettling.
See, those mall videos spook me in a way, because it's just like, if you think about those floors that now sit empty, just imagine how many, like, families have, like, reminisced about, like, the good memories they had there.
Dude, imagine how many feet have walked on that spot.
I know.
And it's completely empty.
I know. Yeah. It's wild to me. And again, shopping is something that, like, when I go to the Indy Mall, you know, the Castles and the Keystone one, like, when I go there and I see now that, like, these stores are starting to go away that have been there since, you know, for however long, you know, I've been there, like Macy's and Sears and these stores in the mall were closing. It's just like, wow. It's just crazy just to see stuff that, you know, you knew for your entire life just disappear, you know?
Yeah. Just poof. Nothing there. And as I was saying, it's this feeling of something should be going on. Something should be happening, but nothing is.
Right.
And you just feel this kind of crater of emptiness that isn't like a, aw, sad empty. It's like a, okay, this is weird. Well, what's going on? But probably what's more terrifying than that is about those abandoned videos is people going into abandoned buildings, which you probably shouldn't do. It's not a good idea.
There's certain sanctioned events.
Oh, really?
Normally you talk to the people and you're like, hey, can I go check out this open abandoned building? And they're normally like, well, as long as you don't trash the place and as long as our security, like, knows you're there and is okay with it, yeah, sure.
Yep.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Like,
for real?
Yeah.
Who do they call about it? The city?
I think it's whoever owns the building. Normally it's, like, a company or something that's going to, like, either destroy it or deal with it.
Probably be, like, a bank because of repossession.
Okay. So you call them.
And interesting. You can actually check it out. Sometimes people don't, and that's the illegal part. That's what you're not supposed to do.
Don't do things without people's permission, especially abandoning, you know, property. Mm-hmm. Please don't do that. But
that's a bad idea.
But it's the videos of people going to those abandoned places and going around. It's empty.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's empty because it's an abandoned building. Why would it not be empty? And then there just being something or someone there.
Yeah.
It, just completely out of place. It's like, okay, yep, this is terrifying. Like, you hear something. Dude. Oh, man. Those videos were... It's just abandoned building, and then you see something in the distance.
Yeah.
You can't discern what it is. Who it is, if it is a who,
right?
And you're just like, yep, I'm done watching this. I'm gone, just clicking off and going somewhere else, because that is scary.
Normally, it's like the figures out in the distance that are like you have a flashlight, whatever, and you can see that there's a shadow there, but you can't tell who or what it is or what it like actually looks like from a distance.
And you hear it moving,
and you like hear it breathe or something, and it's the paranoia after that is really intense. You got to get out of there.
So I would assume you guys both watch the abandoned videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
Somewhat. Yeah. Have you guys seen the one about it was a school that closed during the COVID, during like the height of the COVID pandemic? Like you know, like when school, like when we originally got out in March of 2020, they went then too, and then they basically never had the funding to come back. And it's just, I don't remember what channel did it or anything, but it was two people just abandoned this school that, you know, just, It literally looks like on the inside, it literally looks like the students, you know, came one day and, you know, never came back the next. Yeah, and like, that's, I mean, again, that's what happened. But again, just seeing it, you know, abandoned like that was, you know, like when I first watched that video, I just couldn't believe it. Right. I just couldn't believe it.
It's just, it's like a dragging feeling.
It's dread.
It's this feeling of something is wrong.
Yeah.
You know, something is wrong. But you're still there, so you just kind of deal with it.
Right.
That's kind of the thing about abandoned places. That's just the most, man.
It's one of the better, though. Like, it's more of a looming feeling rather than, like, a jump scare or something that's really sudden and, like, just peaks out your anxiety.
Yeah, because that's a really cheap way to get horror.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, really a cheap way to get scares. It's just about, like, it's boom, the old movies, boom.
Yeah.
Like, too many movies and too many things do that.
That's how they're like rated PG-13 versus R. Is R can go to the lengths of like gore and all of that scary stuff, like Saw or sometimes Scream, I guess. Shanky or stab, yada yada.
Yeah, but see, what I really think is the best, I wouldn't say it's the best, but definitely a good iteration of horror nowadays. One that's taking up a lot of popularity has got to be analog horror.
Yes.
It's just, it's taken the world a lot. Like, there's so many things right now with it. And I think that there are probably, like, three really good iterations of it
now. There's definitely more.
Like, I'm talking about, like, three mainly popular ones. You guys know about the Mandela catalog thing, right?
Yes.
No, what is it?
So basically, it's like a. So there's this guy on YouTube. I forgot what his name was.
Nexpo? I think it's Nexpo.
Okay, well, I'll look. Well, you figure out who did it. It's basically, so if you don't know what analog horror is, it's Nexpo basically like, it's kind of like found footage, VHS tape kind of horror, but when you watch it, you kind of have this feeling, the feeling you're supposed to get from it is, you're either watching something you were never meant to see, or watching something that's trying to warn you of something.
Right.
And it's unsettling, man. It just makes you go,
But what's this Mandela thing?
So basically, the Mandela catalog is kind of like takes place in a world where there's things called alternates, which are just kind of like a...
Oh, like the Mandela effect.
Yeah.
Is that the same thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, yeah.
It's so, playing on that.
So you do know about it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Okay. I got you.
It's just something about it is just... plays into the role of something trying to come after you.
No, I agree. It's freaky.
Just, it's just, ooh.
Because I remember specifically every night when I was a kid, I would sit until 7 o'clock, and that's when my parents switched the programming from whatever they were watching to Sprout, and the first show on that channel was the Bernstein Bears, and now they want to say it's like the Bernstein. Like, what? Yeah, it was the Bernstein Bears, and I remember, and I even asked my mom about it like a couple months back. I'm like, do you remember that show with a whole bunch of bears that I used to watch that came on at 7 o'clock? And she's like, the Bernstein Bears, and I'm like, thank you.
Yeah, Bernstein Bears. Why would they say Bernstein Bears?
That one I cannot wrap my head around.
Yeah, but whatever. Like, VHS analog horror is just... It just, oh.
I think I get what you're saying. Like, I know, like, I've never watched it personally, but, like, I get, you know, the concept of the analog horror. Is it homemade films in a way?
Yeah,
kind
it's
of.
Playing
okay,
on that.
So most of Mandela catalog kind of styles like PSA, found footage,
right,
kind of recording. So, like, most of it is styled in the same way that your, like, weather alerts or most of your. Standard alerts you get on TV, so you know you hear
stuff that plays on like your fear. You'd always like as a kid get that like gut feeling every time.
Oh, the alarm when it came on. Oh, that freaked me out.
Yeah, so it's kind of plays on that. So you'd be watching and you'd be like, okay, this looks like something like the government would actually send out to like warn you about something.
Right.
But then you're like, this is really undermining what it's actually showing you because it's actually really freaking terrifying. What they're trying to warn you against. And you're like, I don't like this. I don't like the idea of this. Right. The Mandela catalog just does... It does it well.
It does it well.
Because it doesn't tell you directly... Well, no, it does tell you directly what you're supposed to be warned against. But you don't really have the ability to fight against it. You can just try. And trying is just not going to work. Did you find out who...
I did. It's Alex Kister.
Alex Kister. Oh, man. What a guy.
He's got 23 videos on his Mandela catalog playlist, I think.
Maybe?
I don't know. He's got a couple different projects. He's an amateur filmmaker.
Okay. Amateur? He needs a movie.
He does. He needs something way better.
Like, he could definitely make a movie out of what he's been making. Another, since we're on the topic of analog horror, there's three different ones I wanted to bring up. There's another one that I think does it really well. I think it's like, it's an analog horror series on YouTube called like Channel 517?
Local 58?
Local 58, yes. That's
the one.
Oh, it styles like a, so basically Garrett, it styles like a news report, like standard news, right?
Like one of those old programs.
Yeah, just like your standard channel that every once in a while gets a news thing so that you can, you know, see the news.
Right.
But it like, you feel very unsettled watching it. Like, one of the first things, it definitely plays into, like, the paranormal effect of it by, like, how it interacts between, like, ghost and technology or whatever in the world is in technology. That just really... Man. So, basically, to give you an idea of how it works, the very first YouTube video on it is called, like...
You're on the fastest available route.
Yes, that one. I was about to say, you're on the wrong road, but
no,
that doesn't sound right. That didn't sound right to me. So, basically, the first video, it starts off, all the videos start the same, with a catalog showing what's going to be on at what times, and the very first thing is, like, where it shows, like, what's it say? It's like,
do you want me to like open it?
Yeah, open it up because usually it says what the time is that you're, what?
Ooh, it's an ad. I'm so sorry.
Oh my gosh, come on!
I didn't mean to.
Gabe,
I'm looking at it right now just to.
So it usually brings up like a time script showing which program you're watching, quote unquote watching. You're really just kind of sitting back for the ride. So, and usually one of them is like.
What's the next show, the thing
that you're just gonna watch, and usually the thing you're just gonna watch is what is happening then. So Garrett, you see it, you see in the timestamps. Okay, if I could see it real quick, the timestamps,
what's up?
That, oh, no.
Do you want the timestamps?
Yeah, I need the timestamps so I can give an idea. You didn't scroll back far enough. Yeah. Usually it's, yeah. Paid programming is usually the one that on Local 58 you see immediately following. You are listening to WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis, not Local 58 TV, because that is... If we were Local 58, that would
we'd be in a very distorted world right
we'd
now.
We'd be very doomed right now.
We would.
So, to give you an idea of that, Garrett, do you hate traveling? Like, do you hate the idea of going somewhere you're not familiar with? Is that a terrifying fear you got?
Yes and no. There's different levels to it. Do I think...
Like, you're taking back roads. Like, you're...
Yes.
Completely out of your element.
Yes, I do not like that.
Okay.
But that's... I could go, like, I plan to, you know, go to college, you know, maybe out of state. So, right. Like, I could do that.
Okay,
if that
well,
makes sense.
That's
yeah.
kind of what the first episode on the Local 58 thing kind of mm-hmm. plays into. So, do you want to watch it later or do you want a little spoiler?
Go ahead.
Okay, you want a little spoiler? Okay. So, basically, the first episode revolves around just a guy on his way back home from wherever.
He's going to like a campsite or something. Yeah. He's going into the woods.
He's going somewhere normal. And all of a sudden, lights flash and his GPS tells him that he is on a busy road. Lightning strikes. The road is completely empty. There is no cars on the road. There's no reason his GPS should be telling him there's a backup, right?
Right.
So then GPS takes him down a weird road. It starts to rain a little.
Right.
It's not too bad.
It was raining while he was, yeah. It was lightning and then it was raining.
It wasn't that bad though.
It wasn't horrible.
So as he's going, all of a sudden it switches to like 3-4 in the morning, just, you know, out of nowhere. So the dude's been driving for like 3 hours now.
Right.
And it leads him into the road. And GPS tells him to park his car. Then it tells him to turn off the lights, to turn off the car and to step outside. GPSs don't say that. They're not supposed to say that.
They aren't. No, you're right.
No. They are not supposed to say that. So the fact that tells you that is always...
That's a red flag.
That if you weren't red flagged enough to this point, you better... That thing is waving right now.
Yeah.
There's at least 5 of them flinging out right now.
You're getting alarms everywhere. It's your entire car's red.
Bad.
Yes.
Yeah, no thanks.
Very bad. So dude steps outside, and then you hear something.
It's low growl. It's a...
Low? No, it's more like a wail. Just screech.
You know the things from what was the movie? War of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds? No, I don't. I haven't seen that one.
Like, so it has the weird like low trombone thing. It's like the very start of that sound.
Uh huh.
And you hear that in the background in the distance.
Yeah.
And then you see the trees start to move.
Okay.
And that's when the camera cuts and he's gone. He's leaving. He's getting out of there.
It cuts. He's immediately back in his car. And he's speeding down those back roads. And the thing that immediately is terrifying is you can tell that he's being caught up by the thing that's chasing him.
Yes.
Because the GPS tells him your distance is 100 meters, 50 meters, 10 meters. And then, boom, car gets crashed. You've arrived at your destination.
Yep. And then the camera cuts.
Cuts.
That's it.
Back to normal programming.
Yep.
La-di-da-di-da. But that's kind of basically Local 58 and all analog horror in general is just...
It's feeding on that.
It
yes.
feeds off of the, you're seeing something you either were not meant to see or seeing something trying to tell you of something. And I think that is why it is the most terrifying thing to me.
Because it's really realistic.
Because it feels real.
It's like found footage.
It feels too real. I don't like it. Kind of like there's a horror movie out there that got a lot of it didn't really pick up a lot of steam, but it definitely picked up a lot of like essences of analog horror.
Mm.
What's it called? Skinamarink, I think
know.
Is what it was called.
You want me to look it up?
Yeah, I think. I know there's a guy on YouTube who did a video on it named Wendigoon. He did a video on it, which basically plays into the fear of unknown. So
that is it. You got it right.
I got it right?
Yep.
Okay, I just needed to make sure. So, Garrett, you got a fear of the unknown?
Yeah, I'd say so.
When you were a kid, did you ever look down the dark hallway and be like, nope, I don't like that?
Yep.
Yep, that's what the movie plays into. But it does it in such a way,
mm-hmm.
dude. Oh, it's so terrifying. It's horrifying, And I would say if you want to feel unsettled, it is an unsettling movie.
It is. It's actually a 4.9 on IMDb, though.
It's 4.9?
4.9. It's lower than a 5.
Yeah, it's pretty lowly rated, mainly because the way the guy produced and recorded the movie wasn't like how you normally expect it.
It's like shaky.
He recorded it like how analog horror is recorded. Right. Still angles, no real moving camera, no real moving pieces. It's just still frame where you're just staring down a hallway going, uh-huh, something's going to happen. And then nothing happens.
Yeah.
You just look there. There's nothing going on. Then, boom, something moves. You don't know what it is. You can't see what it is, but something's moved. Something is wrong. And that is what the movie plays into really, really well, is just this feeling of something is wrong. You get the idea that it's wrong, but the people in the movie don't really understand the gravity of what's going on or why it's going on.
Right.
Which is even more terrifying because, well, the main characters are just, they're just kids.
Yeah.
They're just kids trying to figure out, you know, where's mom and dad and why are the doors disappearing? That is terrifying. You are sitting there watching it and you go, oh, this is, do not like it. It makes you feel worried and scared.
Tensed up.
It's more than dread. I don't know what the best word for it is. It's,
I don't know. I'm not going to try and put words in your mouth.
Start throwing words out. One of them might stick.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
That's a really big word. I don't think that one's going to stick. It plays into the fear of unknown, the fear of the irregular, and just the fear of alone.
Yeah.
Really well. And it absolutely terrifying. I mean, I watched that video at like midnight one night.
You're setting yourself up for like failure.
Ooh, right? Yeah, I didn't sleep.
I don't know. It's called Gemini. Gemini Home Entertainment.
Oh yeah, I think I know about that one.
I watched that one really, really late, and it's a wonderful, wonderful series, but it is really, really sketchy. It makes you feel like actually very nervous.
Yeah, isn't that the one with like the advertising, like, product thing?
Not quite.
Like it advertises something for like emotion.
No.
In one of those things, no.
I'm thinking
of a different thing. Okay. Like there's a lot of good examples that just make you feel unsettled.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's another one. I can't remember what it was called, but it was like a advertisement for a diner with a monkey.
Pretty Fast Bears?
No.
Aww.
There are VHS tapes.
Oh,
of
I saw
one,
that
though.
One though.
They're not bad. They're just kind of goofy.
Yeah.
If you go into it, just kind of like bear. You know, you're not really put a lot of thought.
There was one that was really good. That's
yeah, there was
popping up on my feed.
There was one series that was like really got me, and I was like, yep, I'm scared. Do not like that. But there's another one that I think really did it well before the FNAF VHS tapes. You've seen Walton Files, haven't you?
I think. I'm pretty sure.
Oh boy, do not watch them late at night because
they do get a little.
They freaky.
Yeah. Oh, it basically follows the same-ish kind of setup as Five Nights at Freddy's in terms of story and all that, but the way it handles the VHS type
terror. Being interviewed, like it's the guy who's just interviewing the animatronics and trying to get like a conversation out of them.
Yeah, and people exploring it. You good, Garrett?
Yeah,
bless you.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, pollen. Pollen. All this talk about being scared. You should be scared of pollen. It's up and about right now.
Dude, but it's the brisk air. It's really messing with us.
It's very nice air, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice air, just full of pollen.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was saying, it's just something about... You see it's the style. It's the development. It's the way, the gritty, like, feeling that it creates. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh man,
it's a texture. It's like the VHS effect that really like brings it together.
Yeah, thing that really gets me about the Walton Files though is there'll be something will show up, it's complete silence, and instead of there being a jump scare, all of a sudden the next scene is just, you know, back to normal.
Yeah.
Like, it's this feeling of, that's, why isn't he moving? Why isn't he saying something? Why am I looking at a still image of a guy staring at me?
Yeah.
What's going on?
But you'll hear, like, the ambient, like, electronic whatever sound.
Yeah, you'll once in a while hear an ambience. Or there's be so much noise going on, you can't discern what's happening.
Yeah.
It's not a jump scare, per se. It's more like an overload.
It's a leading crescendo to some big unveiling of the horror.
It's either that or it's just a bunch of noise, back to normal. It's like, huh? What was that?
Why is nobody talking about that?
Are we just going to ignore this? And that's the thing about the VHS tapes that really, really sets it in, because it feels, like I said, you're watching something you feel like you should not have seen. Like, your eyes were not meant to view it. You were not supposed to pick this up, put it into your VHS TV, and sit down and watch it, because it's not a training video meant for you. It's a training video meant for the employees.
It feels like incriminating almost. Like, you're in trouble for even seeing it.
Well, yeah. It feels like your life's threatened.
You're doomed.
You're like, yep, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. There's going to be someone breaking through my window and strangle me in my sleep. Mm-hmm. It's not a good feeling that you get. And I think that's what VHS horror does well, is this feeling of just pure dread, agony, along with nostalgia.
Yeah, that's what our generation is really pulling on.
Yeah, it's really pulled the strings of what's going on, what happened in things past, is exactly what it's working with, and it does it so well.
Yeah.
It's actually scary how well it's getting and how much better it's getting.
Yeah.
Because people are coming up with new ways to just absolutely terrify people with short series, and short films are also a big thing. I love short film horror because it's just a small snippet of something terrifying. Especially things like, you've seen like two sentence horror, right?
I don't think so.
Well, it's just basically two sentences. One's a setup, the other's like the actual terror. Sometimes they're funny. Usually they're just kind of scary. Like, oh boy, I sure do like going to bed. Yes, you do, said the scary monster. Just, you know, something like that. Silly.
Yeah.
I know. Sounds odd. Sounds out of the blue. But then you get really good ones, and you're like, oh, I can imagine this.
That's not good.
Because it gives you a short amount of information that's vague enough for you to think what's going on. And I think that's another thing that horror nowadays is kind of trying to play into, is vague imagination. Thinking, what is going to happen? What is happening? And when will it happen? And you're just sitting there waiting and waiting, and then it happens. And usually that's when it kind of gets ruined, when you're like, oh, my imagination's gone.
Yeah, it's the suspense, and sometimes it kills it. There's very specific ways.
Or it makes it more terrifying. Like, okay,
yeah,
I'm thinking this is a little spooky, and then it's worse. And it's like, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight.
Yeah.
Because it gets scarier. But honestly, scary stuff, this is such a good month for scary stuff,
it
man.
It is.
Like, if you're listening right now, turn on a scary movie. Do it right now.
Right now, at work, your desk.
Yeah, at your desk, if you're working right now, turn on a scary movie. Tell your boss to pop some popcorn, get, you know, a couple of snacks, hang around.
Get the friends.
Mm-hmm. Get a couple buddies, call them over.
Your desk computer.
Go watch a scary movie. There's going to be, how many scary movies are coming out?
I'm assuming a bunch.
I can't tell you. I haven't looked at the charts yet.
I'd go for like something A24 or like the real weird. It doesn't tell you that it's horror until the very end, and then you're like, this is actually really messed up.
No. All right. Well, I don't know what movie that is, so I'm just going to move forward. But we got a few minutes. We've got like 1 minute left. What are you guys going as Halloween? Big build up. I've been talking about all this terror for so long. Halloween Day. What are you guys going as?
Myself.
You going as the, that's not. Bro.
I'm taking a nap Halloween. I don't want to.
You're just going to sleep, man?
Yeah. It's been too many years of it.
I'll be going as a broadcaster.
Oh, really?
Because I will be calling the Ben Davis Fishers girls basketball game on Halloween night with Elijah Ennis at 7 o'clock. So you guys should tune in right here for all your Halloween action on WBDG Indy's Giant 90.9 that night. is again the Ben Davis Giants will take on Fishers in that matchup. Again, Elijah and I will have all the calls there and all the tricks and treats that night for Halloween. So again, you guys should tune in for that, and tune in this Friday as well as Ben Davis and Brownsburg play each other, my two schools. So yeah, tune in for that one too, and I'll be on call for that one as well.
That was beautiful.
That was amazing. Wonderful. I'm going as a pirate. Anyways, yeah. Thank you everybody for joining us. I'm Samuel Pierman. Garrett, thank you for sending.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for letting me go on my Ben Davis sports tangent there towards the end.
It's always,
all love, guys.
Always welcome here. Thank you, Garrett. Thank you, Gabe, for coming along, for sharing your guys' spooky events. And that's everything from us, everybody. I'm Samuel Pierman. And to this we say goodbye and good morning, I guess. Good morning. See you later, everybody.